Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here. 3 hours down, two to go here for your listening pleasure. Yeah. Stephen Jones did talk about all the big Cowboys topics. We'll give you the highlights of that here in just a second. Antonio Brown's had an eventful afternoon in Hollywood, Florida. The authorities are there, a large police presence outside of his home, and apparently there was reports of an assault, possibly a battery of a mover. And, apparently now the authorities are trying to talk Antonio Brown into surrendering peacefully, but he is he's not been arrested. So stay tuned for the latest on that. If more details emerge, we shall pass them along to you.
We're tracking that story.
Authorities in District of Columbia there, Prince George's County, giving us an update here about Delonte West this hour, and we'll pass that along to you as well as details become available.
Tracking.
Yes.
We'll be tracking.
They have mental health professionals following up with Delonte.
Okay.
At this moment, the officer that recorded Delonte being handcuffed and talking on the ground and whatnot.
Yeah.
He's been suspended because we weren't supposed to see that.
Oh. Yes.
That was part of an investigation.
Oh, dang.
And the investigation's still open, but no charges have been filed.
Okay. Are they looking for the guy that beat him up or?
No, they're friends. They both didn't want to press charges.
Yeah, they both didn't want to press charges. Apparently, Delonte was winning the fight.
For a while.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Apparently, he started it with a glass bottle.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then ultimately did not win the battle. But unfortunately, I think that's a somewhat standard homeless on homeless kind of situation.
Okay.
A couple people with some real substance issues.
Yeah.
Cops, I mean, that show up after you fight and you're like, no, it's fine.
There was a lot of tough things to swallow about that video, but watching him get beat up like that, I mean, you're a professional basketball player, probably 6'3", 6'4", but who knows what's going on in his mind. And, you know, you're in sort of a mental crisis, maybe a very thin grip on reality. So that was very unfortunate to see. It's such an interesting topic because everybody is, you know, weighing in on what needs to happen. And you know, I think a lot of people are saying, get this guy some help. And then other people are saying, well, you can't help the guy if he doesn't want help for himself. And then other people are saying, well, yeah, his friends and family should. But I think the really difficult thing here is just the role of the friends and family and being untrained on how you go through this, the level of patience that it's going to require day in and day out. And then the guy doesn't want to take his medication, so you got to come back and like, yeah, I think it takes special people. It takes special friends and family. This isn't like normal stuff you can help the guy with, right? Because it's like a daily thing to make sure that the med. And then as things start sliding and devolving, now it becomes even more difficult. And now he might start saying things back to you to dissuade you. And can you say, okay, I love you so much, I'm going to put up with insults and you trying to sabotage me because you don't
want
me to
come help you? But what if that's enabling? What if you're like, and he's like, I need $20.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, you're going to go spend it on drugs. I'm hungry. Right? I can't eat. And then now you just enable him because you're like, okay, he's hungry. He has to eat. Here's $20.
Yeah.
And then he does just go buy drugs.
Exactly. Right. So the how do you help? The right kind of help? When do you know if you're enabling? And when do you know if you should cut any support off, you know? And I think hopefully along with this story in D.C., it means that the people around that want to help are going to, you know, be trained on what it takes to execute that perfectly. And it's very, very difficult, as I'm sure millions of people can testify to when, you know, you have a situation with a family member that's in this much of a crisis. Okay, so there you have Delonte West, and the investigation continues there. Steven talked. Jason's a football guy, he said. He wants to go coach. He's a great offensive mind. They got a good one in Coach Garrett. he was nothing but a class act here. I know he'll certainly help the Giants get on the road to where they want to go. I got to tell you, I heard a Jason Garrett quote earlier from a press conference or something, and I just loved the fact that he's not associated with the Cowboys anymore. Like, listen to that generic
He's still going that route?
Oh, it was super.
Even in, like, an introduction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was right. Really robotic and, you know, where he's, you know, trying to say something meaningful but being the most generic person possible. Just total beatdown. You know what?
Kind of like Delonte West. If nobody's going to have Garrett actually be unemployed for a while, why change?
Good point.
I got this. I know how to do this.
I thought that was a beatdown reference, but okay, I'll see what you did.
Not a beatdown.
That would have been really good.
That would not be good.
Probably too soon.
A little bit of eight irreverence. 8 years? What are you talking about?
But it's also day of.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Too soon,
I mean,
on the Delonte side.
He just got beat up by a homeless friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
On signing quarterback Dak Prescott, Steven said that's the number one priority, and Cooper is the number two priority. Linebacker Leighton Vander Esch.
Oh, the backup quarterback?
Amari
Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
Oh, I thought you meant Cooper Rush was the number two priority.
Being stupid again.
I was like, oh, okay.
You didn't say anything wrong. Mike just tried to ruin the show again.
Priority number two.
Yeah.
We really like what this guy brings to the table.
You should see him in practice.
Gotta get them jokes off.
Well, I tell you, there's going to be at least one preseason game every 2 years where he'll show some promise. Former Pro Bowl linebacker Leighton Vander Esch had that neck surgery. Steven said, I feel really good about him making a full recovery and being ready to participate in everything. We need, not only do we need that, but I think we just need Leighton Vander Esch to be good. I think the rookie year Leighton Vander Esch run that lasted like 4 weeks and then we crowned him like the next Urlacher, I think that he was just hot. Or, you know, defenses hadn't learned how to do what he couldn't do yet. Because that follow-up performance 2019, that seemed very average for starting linebacker. Okay, following the hiring of McCarthy, assembling a new supporting staff, Steven said, very pleased with what he's put together. It seems like we have a lot of experience overall. He's real pleased with how it's come together. And, yeah, I remember the same things being said when Scott Linehan was brought in and Rod Marinelli and Monty Kiffin. Oh, we got three guys that used to be head coaches, and they're all on this staff. You got a lot of talent here. It's like
one of them went 0-16.
Yeah, let's fast forward 3 years. Let me know how it's going then. Lone Star legend tight end Jason Witten came out of retirement in 2019, but it was just a one-year deal. Jones said, really nothing there to comment on.
I'm taking that quote as a positive.
That they're moving on?
Yes.
Yeah.
My guess is that they're moving on. But I don't know. You never know. I think that is kind of a wild card because Jerry really does think that Witten is John Wayne, I believe is what Fish says.
Go be John Wayne.
So if Witten texts Jerry and he's like, hey, we need to talk, wouldn't Jerry be like, all right, cool, you're back?
It's freaking John Wayne. He'll be kicking ass until he's 75.
What if Mike McCarthy says, I don't want Jason Witten? Jerry's like, but he called me. He wants to play.
You don't understand how awesome Jason Witten is here. Let me call Jason Garrett. I'm going to get him on the line, and he'll tell you. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, you think you have something down, but then Jason Garrett talks to you, and it's completely different. So,
I've been totally convinced I should have got rid of Jason Garrett for 5 years, but he kept convincing me I was really wrong.
Just got to talk to him about it. Oh, yeah, we have Jason Garrett was on the Giants Huddle podcast here. Get some of this generic J-Jeezy going on here in just a second. As far as the Cowboys as a whole, following 2019, Steven said, I think we have a good team that's in its prime. Part of the reason Jerry and I were set on finding a coach with not only experience, but a coach that had real success in the playoffs, because we do believe this team can certainly have that type of success. I agree wholeheartedly. It's a good debate. And I think it's a valid one. You know, going into this year, I really thought you could say, dude, 2016, at times in 2017, then the second half of 2018, once they got Amari Cooper, and it was a lot of evidence that this team could really play well. But now, the most recent evidence is a 16-game sample size when they could not move the ball for extended stretches of times during a lot of meaningful games. Some of those games against bad teams. You know, the Minnesota game, the Chicago game, the Buffalo game, the Jets game, those games count as so much more in the evaluation. So I've been bullish that this team is talented enough, but they just had the most disappointing season ever. But if we get into the first four or five games next year and they look like this season, we're going to have to retreat from that point and go back into a some sort of a team building phase with this squad. Maybe they just got old early or something like that.
You're making a great case to franchise tag Dak right now is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or trade him for 2 first-round picks.
I don't know if you could get that, but I would be willing to franchise him and continue to take a longer look.
Steven's willing too. I saw that quote from him earlier where he was like, "There." I guess somebody asked him about, you know, if you didn't get a long-term deal done with Dak, how would it affect your cap situation? He's like, no, it would work. It'd be fine.
Hmm.
We could tag him. So that will be, and I'm with you from earlier, where it's like, I don't want to talk about Dak's contract. He's the Cowboys quarterback, and he will be.
Yeah.
But it could certainly play out that way if they remain far apart.
I wonder what you could get if you tried to – I know you can't trade the whole team, but if you said, you know what we're going to do? We don't believe this team's ever going to really be ultimately a championship team.
Trade everyone?
Yeah.
Well, you'd have a lot of cap space for sure, and you'd accumulate a good number of picks. I don't know where they'd be. That would be, if it ever happened, if an NFL
team... We think Tyron Smith's back's giving out on him. We think he maybe has a year or two left. That's what we believe. Maybe there's a team out there that's like, hey, man, it's Tyron Smith. He might be a Hall of Famer. We'll give you a second and fourth, and then you take Zach Martin and you get a first and a third, and then you take Dak Prescott and you get 2 firsts, and like you could just accumulate all of these picks and just be like, look, we're going to go. We signed our coach to a 5-year contract. We're going to let this thing play out, and we're going to have over the next 4 years, we're going to have 9 first-round picks. 7 second-round picks.
I love it. I love it, man. You
know, I would pay for the 30 for 30 about whatever team did that. Like an owner gets a little bit of dementia and gets mad at the end of the year with the way it ends. And he's like, that's it. We're trading to everybody. And he really does.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
It would be the ultimate, big tanking type of team building move. Maybe the Cowboys could do that in the future. I think they look at how good they are as very important for the business of the NFL. You need to have the Cowboys have relevant games November into December where they could make the playoffs to have this like TV ratings insulation for the rest of the league.
Yeah,
you take the Cowboys out a lot of these games, and I don't know if you can manage the team directly to be shooting for around 500. But over the last decade, it seems like that they end up kind of refusing to go down in order to go back up.
And you said this. You kind of yesterday said that you don't think the Cowboys are going to go anywhere special for a decade until it kind of resets. And I think, to your point, I'm kind of with you. I think this team can be good. I don't know if I think this team can be great.
Well, that's kind of my thing is like the teams that are hitting it big time are either the Patriots or did something to be so bad that they got the draft picks. You know, there went the Rams. Now we have the 49ers, the Eagles, even after Chip Kelly took a step back, they get the picks. They're able to, you know, make the trade for Carson Wentz. I don't know. Maybe if you're really, really awesome, you can experience sustained success and ultimately get to the Super Bowl consistently. But I think taking those steps back and having the top 10 type of defensive lineman on your team instead of trying to scrap together and give them cute nicknames and try harder than everybody, that just might get the job done.
Now you're on our side, the cute nickname thing. Yeah.
How about some Jason Garrett here, though? Why the Giants, Jay Jeezy? Here he was in the Giants Huddle podcast. Check it out.
Well, it's just a first-class organization. And you think about the history and tradition of the New York Giants franchise and what the Maras have built and what the Tishes have built and all the great teams, all the great coaches, all the great players who have been a part of this organization throughout its history. And, you know, when you're a player in this organization like I was for 4 years, you feel that. You feel that history. You feel that standard. And again, I was so fortunate to be a part of it, played with some great players, played under some great coaches, and most importantly, played for a great organization. So really excited to be back, excited to get going.
Oh, we're excited to have you there, JG. Oh, we can absolutely not wait.
You think he said, how we doing, guys, multiple times? He did the, how we doing, guys? And they're like, hey, and he was like, no. How we doing, guys?
Let's get the energy level up. Okay, when did the Chiefs know Patrick Mahomes had the makeup of a goat? And how were they able to keep their interest a secret for a year? That's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Have some good football content here. There is a baseball Hall of Fame news, though, was the latest has come in on Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And it's no longer unanimous, is it, Joe?
He's out, huh?
99.7% of the vote, one man did not vote for Derek Jeter to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I want to shake that man's hand. Yeah. What a great guy.
I wonder if that guy truly believes that he didn't play at a Hall of Fame.
Well, that's not how it works. It's your stupid sports Hall of Fame where they're like, well, it's not about if he deserves it yet. It's about on which time does he deserve it. Larry Walker got in too, by the way.
Oh, good deal. Yeah. Last time. Good. So Edgar Martinez gets in on the last time, and now Larry Walker. So I don't know why that is that you need to wait till, hey, if we don't put him in now, he never gets in. Well, we better do it now then.
Does it say on their placard like when they came in and what ballot it is? So there's no sort of grading system?
I mean,
it's clear it matters to the writers.
I wonder if they ever told the writers, I don't know, it's if they ever said, hey, put Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in. We'll put an asterisk on their plaque, and we're going to put underneath it, there's going to be like two sentences, believed to be a steroid user during his time. But they're in.
Okay. So from some baseball Hall of Famers to future football Hall of Famers here, we have a story up on SI. When did the Chiefs know Mahomes could be a future GOAT? We'll give you the details on that as we continue our countdown to the Super Bowl. Segments brought to you by GetMortgageReady.com and by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or jump online to FrankelFirm.com. Update from yesterday, Harvey's leg is okay. Not going to have to amputate the dog's leg.
Okay, was it just a sleep, ACL tweak?
Yeah, probably just a bad strain.
Hyperextension?
You know? Maybe something like that, yeah. Okay. But he shook it off, and he's walking with only a slight limp now. But, okay, Super Bowl headlines here. This is Albert Breer, SI.com. The story with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs starts a year before he was drafted. You remember how there was very little buzz throughout the college football season, and he ends up going number 10 after the Chiefs trade up? For pretty much that entire time, they were trying to keep it that way, that people were just kind of like, you know, it's a copycat league. Sometimes you get out there and you run a scheme that works, and everybody's like, hey, we got to do the West Coast offense or the flex defense, something like that. Well, at other times, sometimes you start talking about a prospect, and the next thing you know, your find, your words become consensus as everybody takes a second look and says, well, I'll be damned. I heard they like him, and they're good with quarterbacks. So the next thing you know, everybody's in on your guy. So the Chiefs were going into it after the 2016 draft. They start looking at quarterbacks. They knew, hey, we're going to have Alex Smith for at least another year. Let's see if we can get to grooming somebody behind him. The name to credit, the guy who saw everything and who convinced the rest of the people with the Chiefs that Patrick Mahomes needed to be their guy, co-director of player personnel Brett Veach. He was a group of scouts who were doing early film in May after the 2016 draft, and it started with quarterbacks. And Mahomes' sophomore tape caught his eye to the point where he starts texting Andy Reid clips and starts dropping Pat Mahomes' name to assistant coaches Matt Nagy and Brad Childress, just trying to build the momentum inside the building. Hey, Mahomes is our guy. Take a look at this. Take a look at what he did here. Well, he gets everybody inside the building convinced, and they're like, okay, this is cool. We know we want to move up for him. We're in the middle of the college football season now, and his stock is still, you know, it's up in the air. So they start talking to one of Andy Reid's former closest lieutenants, Sean McDermott, coach of the Buffalo Bills. And McDermott actually has autonomy and authority in his draft room. So they're like, hey, we got quite a package here for you, but don't you tell a damn soul we want to come up and take Patrick Mahomes. And for some reason, Sean McDermott didn't want him. They were rolling with Tyrod Taylor and about to take Josh Allen the next year. Or was it? No, it was the next year they took Josh Allen.
Okay.
So for whatever reason, the Bills didn't want him. Sean McDermott's like, sure. So they wait all year up until the draft, and then they give, what, the three picks to move up to?
They gave one, the next year's one, and something else, probably two somewhere, something like that.
Yeah, but that's how
and
that
honestly,
whole thing.
At the time, I remember watching the draft with you, Gavin, because we were at a Pluckers, is a lot of us thought, oh, they're going up to get Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he hadn't been taken yet, and we just thought, man, that dude just put together two unbelievable games in back-to-back years against Alabama, if I'm remembering everything correctly. And so we didn't even know as the trade was happening that it was for Pat Mahomes until they're like, they traded up, and they're taking Pat Mahomes. And it was kind of a shock, I think, if you were watching the draft that, oh, wait, they're going to take Pat Mahomes over Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised there, too, because going into that whole buildup, Mahomes was a guy that was considered a a high risk take.
Yeah.
You know, just the way that he played in college. So I find that fascinating that so many teams could be looking at him. One was in love with him and they managed to keep it a secret all the way into draft day.
Do you have more on Pat Mahomes? Because I have a little bit more. I read the article. It's a great article in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. I saw it this morning by Mac Engel, and it's on Pat Mahomes and how he wasn't highly recruited at all. In fact, he only had 3 scholarship offers to play football.
Wow.
Houston, North Texas, and Texas Tech. That was it.
Mm.
Why? Because he played sports? Because he wasn't a pure quarterback? Because when they were having all those 7-on-7s and all the quarterback camps and stuff, a lot of them were like, no, like, he's playing basketball. He's on the basketball team playing basketball. Oh, no, he's playing spring baseball, and he's doing baseball. So in the article, part of it is what makes Patrick Mahomes maybe the greatest quarterback of all time, what he's headed towards, is he didn't just concentrate on playing quarterback. And they're like, look, in the article is like, there's so many quarterbacks now that at 12 years old or whatever, they have this unbelievable talent to play quarterback. And they drop everything else and they just do quarterback. And the article says, what makes Pat Mahomes great? Because at times he's a point guard on a football field. At times he's a shortstop playing quarterback. And they're like, with some of these guys, they become good quarterbacks, but they can't get to where Pat Mahomes will ever be because Pat Mahomes understands basketball.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes understands baseball and he understands different angles and stuff. And so this article was, he wasn't highly recruited and his dad wasn't pushing him to just be like football. And sometimes the football schools weren't crazy about recruiting him because they're like, he's so studly at baseball.
Yeah.
He throws the ball so hard. His dad was
a
pitcher.
Played baseball.
So they're like, how much effort do we want to put in if we think he might be a better baseball player than football player? So then like, it was like, hey, like Pat Mahomes, like, I want to do everything. I'm good at everything. I want to do everything. Why are people trying to pigeonhole me into just a baseball player? Why are you trying to pigeonhole me into just a football player? And it was a really good article on because he played all sports throughout high school. That's what makes Pat Mahomes.
It gives him the tools that he can improvise, throwing across the body, throwing on the run, the no-look passes.
Yeah.
And those are tools that no quarterback coach would spend time on, right?
Yep.
Because why? Right? Yeah. We're going to spend all of this time for something that might happen once every 4 games.
Yeah. And because he got coached by basketball coaches, he got coached by middle infielders, he got coached by former pitchers, obviously one being his dad, is that he got coaching from every aspect of sports for the most part.
Yeah.
And all these other football is a great article to read. And I'm a big Pat Mahomes fan. And it's like, if you're a quarterback at 12 and you decide I'm just going to be a quarterback, you know who's going to coach you? Just quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about basketball. I mean, general, they don't know anything about baseball. So there's different footwork and there's different arm angles and there's different things when things break down, the way he can use his skills from basketball and baseball, which if you asked, not taking a shot at him, Dak's a really good quarterback, but Dak would be like, I have no clue how to be a point guard on a basketball team. I have no clue on how to really throw a baseball. So
yeah, that's a good point. I know Oliver Luck, Andrew's dad, talked about his soccer background as something that really opened up his vision and sort of operating under pressure, you know, keeping your eyes downfield while doing very technical things. And, you know, I don't know. I think if you are talented at that level, there's probably a lot of pathways to success. Like, do you want to specialize? And, you know, I don't know. I think some players do have to specialize because they're not as talented. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, they need to start grinding.
I wonder this, too. And this wasn't in the article. Can Pat Mahomes keep getting better and better because he hasn't concentrated on being a quarterback since 12 years old?
Yeah.
He was concentrating on being a pure athlete and just playing sports and learning how to compete and learning how to do all the different sports, where when you get a kid who is doing all of these unbelievable things, and look, North Texas, our Dallas-Fort Worth area, I'm going to tell you, there's no better place to live in the world. In the world. I'm not even going to say United States of America. When it comes to getting the coaching that you can get from any sport you want to try to be great at.
Yeah.
But when it comes to that is, you're just getting this concentration into one thing, into one area, and he got all of these different coaches, teaching them all different ways.
And it raises the competition level in all of those things that if you want to be the round the year player, you might feel like I'm always behind in all of this stuff because there's somebody specializing in every damn sport.
Yeah.
Large groups of kids.
Yeah, and you
kids.
Could do this 7-on-7 at 13 through 18 years old, and you are getting recruited, let's just say, by University of Texas and Texas A&M and all these schools, but how much more can I improve? And I do know for schools like TCU, they look at that and go, nothing against kids from Southlake. I'm just giving this as an example. Or Highland Park, they're like, dude, I go to Southlake. I go to Highland Park. Crap, their facilities are better than some of the college facilities.
No, and but so those like, high school players are maxed out?
Yeah, like they might be maxed out. They've already had weight programs and the personal training and the personal coaches. Like, how much more is there to grow in some of these players where they've gotten all of this coaching and now they're 19 years old and they are tapped out? It's not that they're going to get worse. It's just that they can't really get much better.
Okay, very interesting stuff there, Mike. Appreciate the insights on that discussion. Super Bowl headlines. We'll hear from both GMs here. San Francisco GM John Lynch, very confident in the 49ers. He says the best team he's ever been associated with. He says, even my Super Bowl year, I think there were three or four clunkers where we didn't come to play. This team, every game. He says, maybe the Atlanta game, the energy wasn't right, but even that game, we were up 10 with 8 minutes left. We screwed it up. But you won in such a variety of ways. Shootout against Drew Brees, the game in the rain against the Redskins, the 9-0 game, running the ball, throwing the ball defensively. When you can win a variety of ways, you've got a chance every week, and that gives you a ton of confidence. I guess that's what I'm thinking about, you know, the 49ers here. And it's, you know, better team against better quarterback. Classic debate here in these huge moments. And then 49ers CEO Jed York says he knew this was possible. The moment the Cardinals took Kyler Murray, he said he knew it then that they would take Nick Bosa.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it's an interesting topic because one player shouldn't be that important, but was it like a tipping point situation where now he made that group so unbelievable that maybe one extra guy, but when you say now you have one extra guy and that gives you four dudes, it's just you can't stop it.
I think it was kind of two. Because they also added Dee Ford. And I've seen the splits, almost like baseball, when Dee Ford plays or when he's on the field and when he's not. Nick Bosa is unstoppable when Dee Ford is on the field. When he's not on the field, Nick Bosa's pretty good. So I guess it all kind of works together where it's like, you're a massive threat, you're a massive threat, and they go four across, whereas the Cowboys, even with two good pass rushers, it was all right, you're a threat over there, and you're a threat over there, and then they look at the two guys in the middle and be like,
you'll probably jump off sides.
Yeah, you're going to jump off sides. You're easy to block, and you're easy to block. And the 49ers, they go four deep. So you almost have to block them with six guys, and it's still not enough. So, yeah, I think Nick Bosa was huge. I think Nick Bosa has a decent case to be considered one of the best defensive ends in football. Forget rookies, but I think that's how good he was as a rookie, and I think having Dee Ford and those D tackles – just makes it unfair, really.
By the way, you mentioned Kyler Murray. I forgot to mention this in Nuggets. Derek Jeter was drafted 7th overall. I believe it was 7th. The guy drafted right after Derek Jeter, the next pick, Kyler Murray's uncle.
Oh, cool.
Calvin Murray.
Which one was better, do you think?
Well, in the article, the scout for, I believe the Padres had the first pick in that draft and took Phil Nevin, and the main scout, the head guy, was like, take Derek Jeter, so then you could be hating on a San Diego Padre instead of a New York Yankee. But you'd say he wouldn't be a Hall of Famer, right? He was drafted first overall
with those
by the
numbers,
Padres.
I think he makes it, but he doesn't get 99.7% of the vote, and he may not make it his first year.
Yeah, he doesn't get the playoff, probably the playoff success.
Well, he may still be first ballot because he was well over 3,000 hits. He was over 300 hitter, so he would still be first ballot.
He'd be a Hall of Famer.
He'd be a Hall of Famer for sure.
He wouldn't get all of the postseason stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Eli Manning of baseball. That's the way I look at him anyway. Jeff segment's coming up next. Where are you going with it, Jeff?
Sorry, that threw me off, and it was so good.
Thank you.
What a great dig. Mock draft roundup, and the most iconic brand in Texas has been crowned.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Here's Jeff Cavanaugh with a segment.
Hey, guys, I'm here. We're going to talk about, of course, shark attacks and the most iconic brand in Texas. But as this is a sports station, I start with a little fun with mock drafts and college football rankings. Players, not teams. But there were two new mock drafts that I saw today. Sports Illustrated and then Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL scout for NFL.com, did his first mock draft. And so we get to say, who do the Cowboys get? And it's names that, as you said, Senior Bowl, it's about time that draft season is actually upon us, but I feel like you guys will already know the names of who the Cowboys are picking in these drafts, because over the past week or two that we've been talking about players, it's guys that are being tied to the Cowboys. Sports Illustrated, Grant Delpit, LSU safety, Daniel Jeremiah, Xavier McKinney, Alabama safety. And that is who everybody has given to the Cowboys, which convinces me they will not be taking a safety.
Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports. Did you see his mock draft?
Nope.
He actually, I think he took the safety from Alabama.
Xavier McKinney?
No, he took Yoder Gross Mateos.
Oh, Gross Matos, the Penn State defensive end?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I could see that. That is possible. What I wanted to do, though, is I took these players, and Dane has his top 100 list. I don't have 100 players to rank yet, so I can't do that. Pro Football Focus just put out their top 100 big board as well. And so what I wanted to do was take a few of the names that are being tied to the Cowboys and say, all right, where do Dane and where does Pro Football Focus think these guys are? Because I think there's some value here. Dane talks to a lot of scouts. Dane is a big-time tape guy. Pro Football Focus incorporates their statistics and how they project what that'll do in the NFL. And so we can find kind of a nice blend and figure out, okay, which one should we maybe like for the Cowboys? So some of the names that have been mock drafted to the Cowboys. Xavier McKinney, the Alabama safety. Dane's big board, he's 30th. That's a little low if we're going to pick a guy 17th.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking right there, 30th. You know, there's about 20 first-round players, depending on who you talk to. I think I want one that's ranked in the teens, Jeff. Okay. Call me crazy.
So Pro Football Focus on Xavier McKinney, 33rd. They both have him at 30 or behind the number 30. So
we've seen way too much drafting for need.
Yes.
It has pounded this team. It's put this team in a precarious spot.
I would say if the team feels differently about the players, so be it. But if they are anywhere near in line with Dane and Pro Football Focus, you do not want to hear that name called. So let's go to Grant Delpit, okay, the LSU safety. He's 27th on Dane's big board, 17th on Pro Football Focus's. So you're getting better. I want to throw out three more names because the one that I want the most is defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina. So I checked, where's he ranked on these guys' boards? Dane's 10th.
Now we're talking.
Pro Football Focus, 12th.
Hey.
Eh?
Perfect.
Now we're cooking.
And he's a three-technique defensive tackle.
Yes, sir. 6'5", 315, and in his first day at the Senior Bowl, he abused everyone.
Is he ranked higher or lower than Derek Brown, Auburn's defensive lineman?
He is. Let's see.
Because you said a month ago.
Dane's got Derek Brown 6th, and Pro Football Focus has Derek Brown 11th, Kinlaw 12th. So Derek Brown is ahead of Javon Kinlaw. But I'll take either one. You get one of those two defensive tackles to number 17, and I think you have got something fun. Iowa defensive end A.J. Epinesa is 14th on both of their boards.
Yes, please.
And LSU corner Christian Fulton is 20th for Dane, 10th for Pro Football Focus. So I would keep that name in your pocket as well. Fun with mock drafts. And we move on to shark attack news. Any of you guys ever been attacked by a shark?
Oh, twice.
Two times?
No, come on.
Holy cow.
No, it's horrifying. It's terrifying. I spent quite a bit of time in my late teens, early 20s, actually in the ocean, bodyboarding and stuff. I was never good at it, but it was fun.
Yep.
And I would always be terrified. You know, I don't know if those surfers, do they just stop thinking about it?
But or they think about the odds.
We saw a fin in 2 years ago in Galveston out, I don't know, 40 yards out.
That'd be
we were in
the
water,
water
up to waist deep. And
you
like 40 yards
him?
Out, we saw like a fin. I'm not sure if it was a shark or not. I think it was, but we just got out of the water and then it kind of passed by and we're like, all right.
You ever been attacked by any creature in the water?
I've been stung by a jellyfish in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
I dove on top of a jellyfish and that
wow.
hurt.
Yeah. Courageous.
Whole family had to go to the bathroom on me to calm that one down.
I don't think I've ever been attacked by an animal in the water.
No water. Lucius, you ever been attacked by a water creature?
Darn crawfish.
Oh, they pinched you?
Yeah, pinched me. I was looking under a rock, and he got me.
One in the wild?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a creek.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's wild. It's wild as hell in the creek. Well, what you talking about?
When I see crawfish, they're in a bag or a bucket getting ready to give up their lives for me. shark attacks are down across the world. We are doing a much better job of either combating shark attacks, or they're dying, or people are following my program better with how to not get attacked by a shark.
I remember it was bad there for a while. In late 2018, early 2019, we were on a collision course with a Sharknado.
Yeah, yeah. Last year, 64.
Jeez. They
have a weird qualifier in here, though. 64 unprovoked shark attacks around the globe. Why do they need the word unprovoked? Are there like six other ones
drunk
where
people
dove in and fought a shark and got bit? And they're like, well, we're not going to count.
Yeah, it's those people when I see them like, hey, look, there's a big sperm well. Let's jump in and like touch it.
Yeah.
Like, no, you shouldn't be swimming with that thing. It can swallow you whole.
Who did the comedy? Is it like Ron White who was talking about the whales? Like the killer whale got its name because, you know, I don't know much about the sperm whale, but I don't think I want to know.
Yeah. Good. That's a good joke series.
Something about America sharks do like, though, because out of 64 in the whole world last year, 41 were in the United States of America. That is about 66%.
High fructose corn syrup we're made of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah, we are sweet and fat.
What? I'm just wondering, is it that we have a lot of coast?
Is it like Atlantic Ocean? Is it Gulf of Mexico? Where is this happening?
I don't know where's the hot spot, but we are way more popular than the rest of the world combined at getting attacked by the sharks.
We do have a lot of coast. We have colder waters. And we have a lot of people wanting to recreate.
And a lot of booty.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Is 41 shark attacks in the United States not enough to implement my shark plan?
That's enough. I'd say that's quite a few.
Okay.
I'd say that's a pretty high hit rate if you consider how many people are actually going to the beach regularly.
Yeah.
If 40 of them are getting bit every year in America, it's a major problem.
Because I'll reset for everybody. My belief is that anywhere where it's accessible to get in the water along a coast, there should be a check-in station. And if you want to hang out in the water, you can get a 30-minute shift. But you also have to spend a 30-minute shift in the two other positions. You have one who is armed with the underwater goggles and a harpoon gun. You have one station. Wait, I think I had four stations because there was a chum station.
Yeah.
I believe we had a chum station.
Yeah, you got to draw them away from the people. Yeah.
You draw them. No, because the chummers also carry the dynamite. So that'll work, yeah. Because you drop the dynamite or the C4
chum
or whatever
first,
into
and
the
then
chum.
The C4, yeah.
And then you take off and you handle it that way. So as long as everybody participates in the ocean that way, I don't think we'll have a problem.
Just do your job.
Yeah, it should be fine. And finally, the most iconic brand in Texas has been named via @TXSportsLife on Twitter. They set up a 64-brand bracket.
Ooh.
And people voted, and they worked their way through. Which one?
Bluebell.
Bluebell got bounced in the, Bluebell took down Fuddruckers in the opening round.
Of
Fuddruckers
course.
Has great hot dog buns, by the way.
And hamburger buns.
Yeah, but I say burgers, bro.
Yeah.
Then
do they
Bluebell,
still do it where you get butter. To go to the bar, like you just order your burger, and then you go to the bar and
go
and
make
your,
it.
Yeah.
No one knows, Mike. I haven't
give me
been
the
to
patty and a bun. I'll take it from here.
I haven't been to a Fuddruckers in like 10 years. I'm just wondering if they still do it that
way. Yeah, you still do it like that.
I just remember the hot dog had a lot of bun. But Bluebell took down Fuddruckers, took down the Houston Rodeo, and I don't know how this happened. Lost to H-E-B.
Wow.
H-E-B, by popular vote, took down Bluebell.
H-E-B is on the come.
Yeah, H-E-B corporate must have been cheating there with the incognito browser. Something
I could
like
see
that.
I could see that.
We got to win this thing.
The final 16 came down to Borden, that's milk, right? Borden, the dairy products.
Yeah.
That went up against the State Fair of Texas. State Fair took them down.
Of course.
Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine took on Bucky's.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. Bucky's might have to take it, though.
Bucky's did take down Dave.
I hate to do it, but
Shiner took on Cavender's.
Oh, that's a dub for Shiner.
City?
Yeah, Shiner won. Dell took on Pluckers.
Dell's our thing?
Oh, my God.
Dude, you get into Dell. It's in Austin.
Okay.
It's Pluckers. Like it's why Dell Diamond is the Round Rock AAA team.
Pluckers got the dub.
Yeah.
Thank
God. Pluckers versus my peoples.
I told you, HEB beat Bluebell in the Sweet 16. Six Flags took on Whataburger.
Oh, Whataburger.
Whataburger took down Six Flags.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Pepper took on Academy.
That's a DP.
DP took down the W. Southwest took on Yeti.
Southwest.
Southwest won. Now we're down to the Elite Eight. Can Gavin call them all? Whataburger took on HEB.
Whataburger.
Yeah.
Whataburger won. Dr. Pepper versus Southwest.
Southwest.
Dr. Pepper.
Southwest.
Why'd you vote for an airline?
Because Southwest comes through. What?
And now they...
$75 round trip. I can go down, like, I go weekend trips for nothing.
Yeah. And
nothing.
Now you can fly, you know, you don't have to take those stops how it used to be. Like, if you're flying to Chicago, you don't have to fly to Houston first or Oklahoma City. Yeah, you have direct flights now.
Dr. Southwest. Pepper did beat Southwest. The State Fair took on Bucky's.
State Bucky's. Fair.
Bucky's got the dub. Shiner took on Pluckers.
Shiner.
Shiner.
Shiner got the dub. And in the final four, we had Shiner against Bucky's.
Bucky's.
Shiner. It's more. It's been around longer.
Bucky's.
Wow. Bucky's is awesome.
Dr. Pepper took on Whataburger.
That's a tough one.
And what should have been the championship. I hate how they got put in the same side of the bracket.
They should have reseeded it.
But Dr. Pepper took on Whataburger.
Dr. Pepper won?
Yeah, the way you said it.
Whataburger won.
Oh.
And then Whataburger versus Bucky's for the most iconic brand in Texas.
Whataburger.
Whataburger won.
Yes!
Congratulations.
The most iconic brand in Texas. Congratulations.
Well, they deserve that. You know, they've been putting in a lot of work. They have a great brand, good color scheme, way better than In-N-Out, you know?
Yeah.
Just been handling business.
Aren't they owned by our Chicago people now?
Oh, yeah. That's they're not right. ours anymore. I forgot about that. Why did people vote for them? Plus, if anybody...
Okay, they can expand. We can go now. When we go somewhere, we might see a Whataburger.
Yeah, everybody gets real mad when you tell the truth about Whataburger. It's a good fast food burger. That's it.
All right, there you have it. Jeff's segment. When we come back,
good
it's
job,
time
Jeff.
To take a look at what is on 105 through thefan.com. The entire Major League Baseball Hall of Fame class, that has been announced and released, and we'll give you all the details on that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.